Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy?
You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Here, what's the best game where you swing from a rope? And what's the best game where you batter the Pope?
Like I said, you will find out in this your podcast.
Hello and welcome to VG247's Best Games Ever podcast, where we attempt to find the best game within a very specific category. For example, this week, we're looking for the best German game, because I got my dates wrong and did the Bethesda show last week when Gamescom was on and scheduled the show about German games today on Starfield's embargo week. Germany isn't particularly well known for its game development, which is a shame because it's the home of many beloved studios from EagleSoft to MeMeMe Games, which recently sadly closed its doors after releasing the excellent stealth tactics game Shadow Gambit. You should play that, by the way. It's really good. I've been playing it. I paid actual money for that, and I don't regret it. So what does that tell you? Germany is well known, however, for efficiency, a strong manufacturing sector, pretzels, and helmets. Speaking of which, I'm joined today by Tom Ory. How you doing, Tom?
What is the link there? What is the link? What are you trying to say?
It's a roundabout way of calling you a helmet. Now that you've made me explain it, it sounds bad. You should
just mean-hearted. Just really horrible, really. Just really, really horrible.
Do people go around calling people helmets? Is that a thing?
Getting a dressing down from Connor now as well. That we're also joined by Connor Macker, and for the first time today we're joined by Rebecca Jones, who is our new guys writer. How are you doing, Rebecca?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Not at all intimidated by the helmet chat. It's fine.
That's a clip that's going to go out with the socials, isn't it? Best German game. It is true. I did get my dates wrong, and we did the Starfield show last week. And when I looked into it, it's like a lot of stuff has come from Germany that I liked and had no idea it was from Germany, including Shadow Gambit and Shadow Tactics and stuff like that. But also, there's plenty of games set in Germany as well, or regions that will become Germany in the future. So, let's get right into it. Tom, do you want to go first? Because you haven't even told me what you've picked yet.
I kind of forgot then for a second what I had picked. I was just looking around in my tabs to see if I had open a tab that had the choice on it, and I found it. It's all right. I'm still recovering from your intro, which I think we can all agree was just a bit unwarranted.
Is this part of the bit, or are you genuinely disappointed?
I think there is a line, right?
I'm not. It doesn't bother me at all. As I said before, Jim, and as people have heard, hopefully, this is all an act, isn't it? The whole thing is just a big act. We script some of it. Some of it I've written. I mean, Bill Cliff scripts everything he says on these podcasts.
Yeah.
I think you can tell. Lots of it is just a big act, isn't it? Certain personas and things. But yeah. So best game, what was the actual topic?
Best German game.
Best German game, all right, okay. So I was thinking about this for a while.
Right.
And I was like, don't be obvious, right? We've got Connor for that, right? So don't be obvious. Don't pick the old, like Wolfenstein. Yeah, let's pick Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein 2.
I would err on the side of avoiding Wolfenstein chat entirely on this podcast. Yeah. I didn't want to bring it up.
So I wasn't going to pick any of those games. Too easy, too obvious. Even games made by, I know this is the topic, but made by a German developer also seems a bit too, it's a bit easy, right? You haven't put any thought into that. You just Googled German developers, right? So I don't know if either of you two have picked a game by a German developer, but probably not the wisest move, even though it is the topic. I'm thinking beyond the topic to be a bit more smart about it.
Is this going to be about a stadium in Munich?
You know what? I did Google it, and one of the things that came up were numerous football games, right? I thought, would it be funny? Would it be funny if I just did it and went for it and went Football Manager? And then, no, I'm not doing that. Too easy.
Okay.
What I am doing is actually another Tomori bit. Right?
All right, okay.
Long-time fans will know what's coming here, potentially. And my pick is actually PGR4. Right?
Okay, all right.
Nürburgring is in PGR4.
Yeah.
One of the greatest racetracks of all time in Nürburgring, in Germany. And that's it, really. Like, at the time, this was like an incredible recreation of the track. I mean, it's probably been bettered since in like racing sims and hardcore simulations and stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing that you get on a Humble Bundle, 8 sims for 10 quid you bought, Jim, probably. But this,
when am I getting Humble Bundle shade?
Because you buy all those, don't you, Jim? This game's got a car in it. I'm going to buy it, spend $15, whatever it is.
That's fair enough, actually, yeah.
So the reason why I picked this is because at the time, like, PGR has always been great for online racing, right? It's like PGR 2 kind of spearheaded Xbox Live on its release. It was a big deal, the way it used online functionality, far more advanced than any other games that were around at the time, Xbox Live, and PGR 2 was really good for that. But PGR 4 had this incredible recreation of Nürburgring, and combined with all the online communities around it, had some amazing times playing this online, right? And it was a proper, like, endurance to get around this thing multiple times without completely screwing up. And I think combined with the fact that we're talking Xbox 360 era, looking at it now, you might not think, wow, amazing, but it felt real, like authentic. It felt like it was like a bit like when you first play a racing, young people won't realize this, but at some point, racing games didn't have elevation in them, really. They were flat, right?
Yeah.
Which sounds stupid, like that is a thing. But when you first see that in a game, that was a big deal. But the point I'm trying to make is it feels like you're actually there. Going like the cockpit, feels like you're actually on the track. Amazing recreation, using all the photo telemetry stuff. They go there, take loads of photos, get the course sorted. I'm sure they could do it even better now. But at the time, whenever this was, like, I'm going to say like 10, 12, I don't know when it came out, 12 years ago maybe, something like that. Incredible game, incredible recreation of a track that is in Germany and is like regarded as one of the best racetracks of all time. So that is my pick.
Okay, I'm going to... just because I'm, when you said 12 years, I was like, is that, have you not updated your information for a while? I want to double check that.
I don't know.
16 years, it's not far off. Okay,
fair. Yeah, long time.
So I was like, 12 years, it's got the energy of something.
I was like, I don't know. Like, in my head, I saw this game at a Gamescom, PGR4.
Yeah.
Can't believe that was that.
That's another link. There we go. Okay.
Yeah. So in like the private demo booth room stuff. Can't believe that was more than 16 years ago.
What were private demo booths like back then? Because now you go into like some lush room and there's a bunch of PR people and like, you know, a setup and you sit down, it's a nice time. But like, was it like really different back then?
I mean, it's similar. The rooms haven't changed much in terms of how rooms work.
Right.
So... it's just a room. You go in a door,
yeah,
and then you sit down, and then the door gets shut,
yeah,
and then you watch what or play whatever's on display.
I know, like games media does have a reputation for being like incredibly debauched up until about the mid 2000s.
That's kind of why I'm asking.
I know what you're getting at, but for the most part, it was just like people in suits in wee rooms.
Sometimes you offered food.
So PGR wasn't this big event, sort of, as you go in a room and watch PGR?
No, went into a room, there was probably some bottled water, sparkling, most likely, at Gamescom, and then you just look at the demo, ask some questions.
Yeah.
Cool.
I remember the Konami booth was good for food one year. Nice. They had some, what's the potato pasta thing called?
Gnocchi.
God. Gnocchi, they had some gnocchi. Wow. It's the first time I'd ever had gnocchi, was at the... Konami.
Yeah. First time I ever had
Gamescom.
First time I ever had quail's eggs.
That's more like Connor's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. First time I ever had quail's eggs was the Overwatch launch party. in a hotel in London. Yeah. I was like, it's just little eggs. Fine. I haven't bothered since. All right. Okay. All right. PGR4. That's a good pick, Tom. I'm surprised. What were rooms like back then?
Connor. People know what PGR is, and I thought we could get a little bit of, you know, aged wisdom, you know, some insight from back in the day, you know, a unique selling point to the podcast. I was trying to dig into it, you know.
I gave you some info about Konami's gnocchi.
Yeah, that's true. That was cool. It's exactly what I'm looking for. It's perfect.
All right, Connor, let's
quick question, Connor. How old are you?
I can't answer that.
Fair enough. I really want to know where I sit on the aged wisdom
scale.
He's
like mid-20s. He's like mid-20s.
I'm 25 years old, yeah.
25, oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. No, I'm aged wisdom as well. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I'm 39. Tom's like 48.
No. I'm 40, actually.
I thought you were well older than me.
No.
Oh, okay. Why do I think you're well older than me?
I don't know, but you've added 8 years onto me there.
That's a wild number of years just to add to someone, isn't it? Eight.
Wow.
I do apologise, Tom. All right, okay, let's move on. Rebecca, you did actually tell me which game you picked.
I did,
and
yes.
I'm very excited to chat about it because it's a series that I remember very fondly from back in the day. What's your pick?
My pick is The Beast Within, A Gabriel Knight Mystery, which is not called Gabriel Knight 2, The Beast Within, which is something I only found out when I looked it up to do this podcast. So
yeah,
there's false memory syndrome for you. But yeah, it's the second Gabriel Knight game. How to introduce Gabriel Knight to people who haven't already heard me bang on about this series endlessly in my other podcast, let's think. It's a point-and-click adventure game series from the 90s. I think it ran 93 to 99 initially. Mm. And they were all really great for sort of the virtual tourism before Assassin's Creed was doing virtual tourism. Like they were always set in a real world location, and it was always like this absolutely gorgeous realization of somewhere potentially like fairly niche. I mean, I suppose the first one was in New Orleans, which is not that niche, but then they had the third game was in a real city in the south of France, which you never really see anything set in. And this game is set in Bavaria, like mostly rural Bavaria, a bit in Munich, which is kind of the entire thinking is I realized that there was a reason I could come on this podcast and talk about Gabriel Knight. And so I was like, great, second Gabriel Knight game set entirely in Bavaria. Let's go. So yes, the beginning and end of my reasoning is that it is a very gorgeous, and it's an FMV game as well. So although I think it was mostly filmed in California, they did do a lot of like referencing from the actual locations in Munich and I'm about to butcher this, my apologies to any German listeners, but Neuschwanstein Castle Bavaria. They did a whole set piece set in this real castle where they took actual images and did a lot of set building. I think some of the exterior shots are actually of the real castle as well, when they used, obviously not, they didn't fly the actors out there. They didn't have the budget for that in the 90s, but they had images of it and had the actors sort of acting against this background. And yeah, it is a really beautiful way of setting a game against a real world backdrop. And another thing that always really impressed me about this game is that it's not, despite being from the 90s, it's not a war game in any way, shape or form. It's very much about 1990s Bavaria and a historical mystery from sort of 1870s Bavaria. It's not hung up on like war tropes, and it's very, very hard to get games from that era that mentioned Germany anyway that didn't get really hung up on war stuff. So
yeah, that's a good point. Like I love the, when we were talking about this on Slack before we recorded, I was saying I really love the third game.
That's not what has been picked.
No, but that's a really good point about the digital tourism.
You know, Gabriel Knight 2 was Computer Gaming World's Game of the Year.
Yeah,
I can believe it. It was
the quote on their advert they ran was, "Combine solid technology and a marvelous aesthetic with outstanding gameplay." That's highlighted in red. Outstanding gameplay, testament to a designer who understands that the game is the thing.
Mm.
I mean, it sounds pretty solid to me, Tom. I don't know what hole you're trying to pick.
I just remember all these games. All I remember about them is adverts in magazines. I never played one.
Did you remember that word for word from memory?
No, but I Googled the adverts.
I was going to say, please tell me you're looking at this on a screen.
I remembered the adverts. I mean, I don't... They always look like that they were the kind of games that would be played by someone that I would then become to know as Jim. They were gym games. The modern now I'd call that a gym game.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. Like, I do. I haven't. Right. So, I played the hell out of Gabriel Knight 3, like I was saying, back in the day when I was a kid. That was set in, as you say, in the south of France. I got obsessed with it because it's a perfectly real location. As you say, everything featured in the game in terms of the physicality of it is real. You can go and visit it. It's a village called Rennes-le-Château, and it was set on. It's like a village that's like on a hill, and like the back of the village, like people's kind of back walls just are like a sheer cliff face drop. I always wanted to visit because it looked incredible and it had this like really amazingly decorated church and everything. But that's a really good point about digital tourism. You're right. I never thought about it like that, but it was
so
doing
many
that.
People have played the Gabriel Knight games and then gone to the locations they were set in, inspired by those games to do actual real world tourism. So yeah, I think it's like it predates what you see now.
Have you got any evidence to back that claim up?
Yeah.
I've got anecdotal claims from Reddit threads.
Yeah. There you go. I'll allow it. We're submitting it.
I feel like picking a point and click is a bit. It's like you've done research and just thought Jim's going to go with this.
I actually, no. Look, Rebecca's obsession with Gabriel Knight is well documented.
It's well documented.
This,
thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim.
I just don't know.
Unbelievable accusation.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Tom, are you seriously saying that I only pick the games I like to impress men?
I'm saying you pick them to win a competition-based podcast.
I don't care about winning. I do care about Gabriel Knight. This will become a thing.
Yeah.
You'll know. Sooner or later, you'll know.
I like the idea that the Gabriel Knight bit is going to become like the Football Manager bit.
Oh, yeah. I've played 10 games in my entire life and I'm obsessed with them. So everything else is just like, I've got a very narrow set of choices I can make. But when I can make those choices... I'll go hard on those choices.
The interesting thing about the second Gabriel Knight game, one of the interesting things is that it's the only game where Gabriel Knight isn't played by Tim Curry.
That's true.
That would be a point against, I reckon.
Who? But,
I think the guy they got was good, though.
So did he come back for 3?
Yes, he came back for 3.
What was the reason there, then?
It's because it was FMV, so they couldn't afford Tim Curry to get in front of a camera, but they could...
Also, he doesn't look a damn thing like the character, which is also a factor. Yeah.
Who is Tim Curry?
Oh my God.
Like, he's like a really popular character actor. He played It in the original version of It.
Have you seen Rocky Horror Picture Show?
It's the one place that... hasn't been whatever by capitalism space from
yes that guy
yes yeah Mark yeah Parker. That guy yeah
okay
yeah,
cool
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
doesn't yeah, but, look like, a lot like this sort of hot young like blonde buff American dude when you get him in front of a camera. I suspect was mainly the reason.
I always assumed it was a budget thing, but you're absolutely right, he's just not hunky enough. but he came back for the third game, and in the third game it's one of these interesting things as well, where within one series, the genre of the games kept sort of changing. They're all kind of point and click games, but like, you know, in the 90s, you had that jump from, well, in this case, you had the jump from 2D to like FMV, like CD-ROM games. And then you had the jump from FMV to like full 3D. So like within the space of like one series, you would have like completely different types of game design going on, which doesn't really happen anymore. Like, you know, I can't think of a single series that's changed genre that dramatically, apart from maybe actually Assassin's Creed
It's visually startling though with Gabriel Knight, isn't it? It's like the first one's sort of the very pixel retro. The one that's aged the best, basically, is this lovely retro pixel art. Yeah. The second one's FMV because that's what was big in 95. The third one is really ill-advisedly 3D.
Yeah.
Because that's what was big in 99.
The third one looks like the original Alone in the Dark.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah,
it's not proper janky.
It's not terrible, but when you look at it now, it looks pretty bad.
I do love the life sim stuff in it, though. How, like, you're staying in a hotel and you wake up in the hotel. And I suppose the second game was a bit like that, wasn't it? Because you're, like, you're visiting, you're staying in the castle that was his, like, family.
Schloss Ritter.
Yeah.
And it's Schloss.
It's like his family inheritance, right? He finds out he's part of this lineage. It's really good. We could actually talk about Gabriel Knight for a solid hour.
Do you want to just, like, spin this off into a call after we've done recording? We can just talk about Gabriel Knight some more. I'm down.
Yeah. It's frustrating because usually I would pick holes in games, but I don't think I've ever played a point and clicks. I can't even tell if this is bad or not.
Age works for me here.
I love that.
It looks pretty good.
It's
a good game.
Yeah.
It's a good game. They are genuinely still, I think they're all still on Steam and they are fun to play still,
yeah.
I think.
I got them all on GOG the other year. I would definitely recommend GOG because it's got, like, the DOSBox thing all set up as well.
Makes sense.
So it runs pretty nicely.
What's DOS?
I'm trying to think about it. I suppose the good thing about buying point-and-click games is they're all ancient, so they cost like 50p each, right?
All right, let's move on.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And with that, let's move on to Connor. What have you picked for this wonderful topic?
There are several different ways I could go. I could go like, my last pick on this podcast was troubling. So I wanted to go for a game that wouldn't just, like, get me hunted down and yelled at.
How is it troubling? Did I miss this?
You did.
I can't remember. What was it?
Five Nights at Freddy based game.
Don't think too much about it, Tom. Actually.
Yeah, exactly. Let's not
draw a discreet veil over that.
I don't want to really go something too niche. I want to pick a game that people actually know, because Germany, you know, there are tons of games made in Germany. Like you said, there are lots of good developers there. And then I couldn't find any. And then I didn't want to go back to what I originally did on this podcast, which is just like make some small link to some fighting game that I and like five other guys like, because it has one stage set in like a, you know, like a Koeiverse factory or something. Because it's not really exciting to listen to or, to be honest, to talk about.
I think that would have been quite good, actually, if it had been in the Curryverse factory.
I love how, like, trying to think of a typically German location and he goes to Curryverse factory.
Yeah. it's a factory they do the curry and the sausage in the same place.
This theme was meant to be set around Gamescom, right? When I think of Gamescom, I think of Curryverse, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
So I didn't want to do that. So I decided to do something I usually shy away from, which is picking a game that people actually know and like and is actually really good, or at least talked about. So I did a bit of diving. Delved into the internet. I didn't just, like, pick a game like Tom suggested in 5 minutes. It took me at least 10. I discovered that Spec Ops: The Line was developed by a German company, Jaeger. Jaeger Development made it.
That's a good pick.
Yeah. So Spec Ops: The Line is interesting to me because at this point, it's sort of a game that people have been bringing up for years. And if you have a conversation about, like, narratives and games, it's become kind of like a cliche point. People bring it up like, oh, there's always Spec Ops: The Line. And everyone goes, yeah, of course, yeah. At the time, and especially years ago, it was quite an interesting sort of entity of itself. It came at a point where military shooters and sort of like this idea of like, oh, American gung-ho, like lads with assault rifles and cigarettes and whatever would go to, you know, the Middle East and, you know, protect the democracy and all that shit. But it famously kind of flips on its head and depicts the whole process of going overseas and, you know, in those sorts of incursions to be quite a negative thing, and it didn't shy away from showing the horrors of such horrors of war, as you will.
Yeah.
It was banned. I didn't know this. I forgot about this totally. It was banned in UAE, and it was quite controversial.
I can definitely see why.
I believe it was a scene where a bunch of people get like blown up or bombed or something.
Yeah.
And I had no idea it was German. I assumed it was either made by an American company, by some devs who were like, you know, kind of like anti-war economy or whatever, or I don't know. It's also a little bit jank, so I assumed it was European, like Eastern European. But no, totally made in Germany.
It's one of these games, actually. Like, it could be American. It could be one of these things where, because America has a habit, as an entity,
yeah,
of, you know, sending troops to ruin other people's countries and then making films about how sad the soldiers were coming back. I can totally see how I assumed it was American.
Yeah,
so that's very interesting.
Soldiers are very sad. It's the perfect, it's kind of like the first game I think about when people talk about like unreliable narrator in games.
For
those at home who want to be a bit more pretentious and snobby in video game conversations at pubs and gaming bars and whatever, this is in the beginner's handbook, if you will. This is the game you should know.
If
you want to start talking about, like, this is very much of a game.
Did you know it's based on Heart of Darkness?
That sort of conversation.
You know what I remember about this game more than anything else? Mm-hmm. I was at a preview event for it.
Mm-hmm.
And all they talked about was the sand. My memory of this game is just the sand. Like, it was a big deal for some reason, the sand. I think whether it moved or something, or where you could use the sand. It's just, I've never played this, actually. I just saw a preview.
My memory of it is Steve Burns going on about it.
See, this is a problem. This is a problem, actually, where, like, I only played this game years later, so I'm sure the sand at the time was super great. There is a lot of it.
Loads. most sand in any game since Dune 2.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of impressed, like, was kind of interesting about it is that if you look at it, just like a 5-minute gameplay slice, it's very much just kind of like bland, usual third-person shooter, right?
Yeah.
Bunch of guys running down shooting folks.
Yeah, and the main guy is voiced by Norland North, so it's like super generic.
Super generic, but it's kind of like this little surprise package. You know, you get into it expecting whatever, and then it's kind of morphs into one of the most interesting games of its time.
Yeah.
At least narratively.
You kill a bunch of innocent people and then...
You
feel bad about it. You're kind of duped into killing a bunch of innocent people, which is, funnily enough, also the plot of the Fighters Guild questline in Oblivion, but plays
really?
It over laughs. Yeah.
Wow. And you love Oblivion.
Yeah.
So there we go.
There's a really similar bit in Oblivion, the Fighters Guild quest, where you... there's a whole thing about how you take like the drug from some tree and you're hallucinating and they send you to kill all the sheep in a village and you do it in like a drug stupor, and then you come round and you realize that you've killed like actual people. It's quite dark, actually.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
It is a bit dark. So it's taken quite a turn. And I feel it's my fault.
It's pretty... Fucking, I'll keep it light, Connor.
Spec Ops: The Line. Often found in people's top 10, whatever, games that you can talk about at, you know,
Is it actually a good shooter?
It is. Oh, okay. So it's an okay shooter, but it's a very, very good narrative experience.
That's
the
thing.
It's the thing where, like, it's more than the sum of its parts, kind of.
Yeah, it is. I would agree with that.
This is weird, and this is the pretentious bit of it. Yeah. It's almost as if the shooting was better, it would be worse.
It's because, a slightly better shooter than Mass Effect.
Yeah. Because the shooting is so bland and very much like, lads on a road trip to shoot some people, and they don't really care about it. That kind of plays into the just
lads on a road trip to shoot some people.
Yeah, you kind of turn your mind.
So the abandoned Hangover sequel.
Yeah, you kind of turn your brain and say, "Oh, this is just like a whatever shooting game." And then because yeah. things happen in the game. It kind of surprises you so much, adds to the punch of it.
Yeah. I would say that this is a game that is more well-known and well and has a good reputation because of a horrifying twist rather than like what it's like to actually play. But
it was a complete commercial disaster, right?
That's the thing. It's the sort of game where it came out, I don't think anyone gave a shit.
And then was people points stacking up against it, Connor.
And then people put on their like beanies and glasses and group beards and then started talking about it. And then people were like, oh, it's so good in hindsight. And then not that they helped Jaeger much. But yeah, game's really solid and will probably be talked about for years to come.
Yeah, yeah.
By people who have never played it.
Exactly. I was about to say that. All right, okay. We'll play that jingle. That means I have to pick something. I'm just reverting back to the original jingle, by the way.
Really?
No. Yeah. No, but you're so bad.
Have to sit through it every time.
I like the new one.
You're so bad at like going with bits for the helpful. We were meant to have a guest, Tom Ari, every week, and we didn't do that. We're meant to have to sit here and listen to that jingle every week.
You're the first person who's ever told me that I have no commitment to a bit.
You
I have legendary commitment
you
to the bit.
Have you not
seen the tweets about Oaksters?
Right. Yeah, listen, my commitment to bits is legendary, right?
The French fries.
Prove it. Play the jingle right now.
All right.
Look, for what it's worth, the two draws of coming onto this podcast today were talking about Gabriel Knight and getting to sit and not react to that jingle, which I failed at. I was like, I'm going to keep a straight face, but it's too funny. I was watching you laughing, made me laugh.
Yeah.
Tom had a really good poker face that time.
I know.
It
bribed
me the first time. I wasn't expecting it at all.
It's just, it's different when it's live as well, when it's happening to you.
Yeah.
I couldn't keep a straight face.
You have to stop and think about the end of Spec Ops The Line.
Is that your go-to for when you want a poker face?
Yeah.
All right, okay. All right, let's summarize. Okay, so we got two games set in Germany, although one of them dubiously so, frankly. We've got one game that's entirely set in Germany, one game that's 2% set in Germany, and one game that's not set in Germany but was developed by a German team. Okay, right. So, Spec Ops The Line, really good pick. I do think that it's mostly
average game, right?
Yeah, very very average game, very mostly famous for the big twist, but it's a really good pick, Connor. I'm not going to pick it, though. Sorry.
Sure.
Connor kicks right off every time he doesn't win.
Look at him. Look at him. Because he's so young, he's still used to throwing tantrums getting his way.
He's already raging. Already raging. I'm gonna get. He's gonna be straight on the Slack. I can't fucking believe you did this to me again, Tom.
Think about this, Jim. Just for a second, right? You have a tendency. And I'm not gonna try and convince you to change your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
To give the win to the newest person on the show, right? That's what you tend to do, and I think people have seen this as a trend.
Right. That is true.
It is very nice of you, but it is a bit disingenuous and kind of.
It's not disingenuous, right? Because, right, Owen won because he had the best pick.
Did he? Was it some Bomberman knockoff where you throw bombs in a stealthy way? It didn't even make sense.
He did the best pitch. He absolutely did the best pitch.
Just because he had the game with him.
I can't even remember what other people picked on that one, right? Okay. All right. Well, it's
Do you need to go and get my copy of PGR and show it in front of the camera? Will that help?
PGR's fine. Look, I'm not saying PGR's a bad game. I'm saying
that all of them. I've got them all back.
I'm saying that the inclusion of a Nürburgring is really, really flimsy grounds to include it in this show.
Why?
Incredibly flimsy. It's not even. It's not even more than 15% set in. How many tracks does PGR 4 have?
I bet more people have been there than have played Gabriel Knight 2.
Hold on. Yeah. I need to get a prop for this. Hang on.
James Batchelor only won because he brought his book. Should I bring my shitty book as well?
Right, if we're showing off our collections, just to prove that I did not just pick a random game to impress Jim, here it is, the original discs from the 90s, still right behind me in my office to this day.
Look at that box art.
15 quid from CEX, crazy.
It's not even in one of those good big PC boxes.
No, it's not.
All right, Connor, have you got a copy of your book?
No, I read it once and was like, fine, whatever.
It's the cat litter tray, isn't it? I'm sure you can use it.
Well, look, if you want to promote your book next week...
No, there's no point. It's not nearly as good as Bachelor's. He actually managed to, like, convince people to publish it because it's probably got some quality to it. I just threw mine live on Amazon Marketplace.
The amount of shade that James Batchelor has took while he was on the show and has since taken subsequently.
Because we know he listens. I like James quite a bit. He's quite a nice guy, but it is funny to make fun of someone while they can hear you but can't do anything about it.
James's book, right? I'd love him to send me a copy. I would not read it. I have no interest in it whatsoever.
All right, okay. Let's before we like
love you, James.
Start insulting guests past and present. Rebecca, I think Gabriel Knight 2. I have played the second one, not as much as I played the third one, but Gabriel Knight is a great, great classic point and click series. I wish it would come back in some form. Mm-hmm. The writer, I can't remember her name.
Jane Jensen.
She's done a bunch of stuff since that's sort of Gabriel Knight-esque, but has never kind of returned to that well. And every time she's kind of back in the news for working on something, I'm always hoping that it's Gabriel Knight and it never
happens. Back in the news? I've never seen her on the news.
Oh, she's like, every now and then.
BBC,
now and then.
Is it? Front page. No, Jane Jensen announces new Gabriel Knight.
Well, every now and then, like.
It will be when she on VG247, the day she does. The day Gabriel Knight 4 is 100%. Announced. Like, it's going to be my news piece that day.
Yeah, there will be like, an alarm will trigger and it'll be a whole thing. It'll be like, Rebecca will come flying down like the fireman's pole and it'll be like Ghostbusters. But There's a lot of people out there who there's a little clue in one of the games about Gabriel Knight 4 potentially being about ghosts in England, right? And that has been the one crumb that people who are fans of this series have been hanging on to for what, 25 years or something?
1999, so nearly.
Yeah,
nearly a quarter of a century.
Yeah, it's been like people think it was a long wait for Starfield or whatever, right? It's absolutely nothing on this. So I really hope Gabriel Knight comes back. I love Jane Jensen's work. Gabriel Knight series are fantastic. You should play them all. You are right, the first one has aged best. Gabriel Knight 2, gonna give it to that. Best German game, set entirely in Bavaria, would have also accepted Pentiment.
Pentiment was my runner-up, to be fair. Like, it's very clear what type of games I like.
German mysteries, apparently.
Exclusively like German mystery games. Yeah. That's all I'm here for.
All right. Well, thanks very much for listening. Please do leave us a 5-star review. I mean, if we've earned it on your podcast platform of choice.
We have this week for sure, 100%.
And join us next week for whatever the topic next week is going to be. Probably some bollocks about Starfield, I'd imagine. We're going to.
Thought we'd done that one. Why don't we just go out of time to play Christmas special next week?
Let's do it.
All right, fuck it. Yeah. You know what? Actually, now that you've twisted my arm into that by joking about it for a nanosecond, we're going to do the Christmas special next week. What's the best Christmas game? There we go. Did we do that last year, actually? Shit. I can't remember.
We've got no backbone at all. We can just make you do whatever we want this week.
Yeah. All right. Next week. Audiences is a contestant. I haven't read any of the audiences ones out this week. Sorry. All right. Okay. Next week, we're doing best Christmas game. Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do it live. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.